Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, we'll stand for the reading of the Word of God. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Father, we thank you for the word of God and for the people of God who've gathered here this morning. We pray your blessings upon each soul that's here. Pray that in this service, Father, you'd instruct us out of your word, and you would draw us by your Spirit, and you would help us, Lord, that our lives would be conformed to your will. And we'll give you the praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to preach this morning on the new man. And we see in verse 9, he talks about putting off the old man with his deeds. And in verse 10, putting on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So in my text, there's a contrast between two different pictures of our life. Not two different lives or two different people, but two different pictures of our life. There's the old man and the new man. And contrary to normal life, the old man appears in us prior to the new man. So we get the picture, the old man is seen in us before the new man is seen in us. And this old man is the person that we are outside of Jesus Christ. It's who we are when we are not governed by the Spirit of God. The old man is the child of Adam, with Adam's rebellious nature. And he is, that old man is what Adam became as a result of his sin. The old man is made in the likeness and image of a fallen Adam. But the new man resembles the man Adam before the fall. Innocent, pure, holy, sanctified. The new man is a child of God, restored to the image and likeness of God. Jesus came. He came in order to restore to us that original sanctified state. He came to restore to us the image and likeness of God. And When you think about the image and likeness of God, you're to think about Jesus, because Jesus was the express image of the Father. And he came to demonstrate to us, and Brother Danny, this is exactly what you've been teaching in Sunday school. He came to demonstrate to us the image and likeness of God that we lost in the fall, but we see it in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so Jesus is the example of the new man. So the new man resembles Christ. Christ is the image of God. Now my text teaches us that in the scheme of salvation, there is an exchange. We put off the old man and we put on the new man. Putting on that new man involves a resurrection. Verse 1 says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. So there is a resurrection that takes place in us. And Jesus' resurrection provided the power to make us new people. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. A new creature, a new creation. Behold, all things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Putting off the old man involves a death. For you notice in verse 3, for ye are dead. This is the old man. You are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. The Bible tells us in verse 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Put to death those members which hold you or focus your attention on earth. And in Romans chapter 6 and verse 6, the Bible says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So when this is how we put off that old man. He is crucified with Jesus Christ. Putting off the old man involves a death. Now I want you to see in my text some practical results of putting off that old man and putting on the new man. Notice with me in verse 5, putting off that old man, putting to death that old man, mortifying your members which are upon the earth, means that we put off all sexual impropriety, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence. Now, fornication is any sexual sin, any sexual sin outside of the boundaries of marriage. Uncleanness is impurity, moral impurity. And inordinate affection is lust. And evil concupiscence is shameful desires. And all of those have to do with the sexual appetite of a person. And that part of us that we pampered when we were outside of Jesus and we allowed those lusts and those impure desires to dominate our life and our thinking, and we gave way to those things, viewing pornography, stepping out on our companions, engaging in lustful thoughts, pampering the flesh in this area. That belongs to the old man. And we are to put off the old man with his deeds. And so when we put off that old man, we put off the shameful desires, the shameful actions that we engaged in outside of Jesus Christ. Not only do we put off sexual impropriety, but we put off the attitude of covetousness. As he says in verse 5, The last part, covetousness, which is idolatry. That spirit of greed, that spirit of grasping after the material world, that valuing the creation more than the Creator, giving our loyalty and our life to those things that we can see and touch, instead of seeking those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of the Father. It's a matter of priority, brothers and sisters. We understand that we all have to have money, we all have to work, we all have to have material things to get along in life. But it's a matter of priorities. We are to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things should be added unto us. We've got to get our priorities in order. The old man's priorities are not in the proper order. So he seeks first the material world. There's a covetous, greedy, grasping spirit in the heart and mind of that person who is dominated by the flesh, who is the old man is demonstrated in their life. We're to put off that old man with this attitude of covetousness. And notice this in verse 8. We put off that old man, he says, but now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth, lie not one to another. So we have to get rid of wrong feelings, anger and wrath and malice. And when he says that we're to put off these, put off anger, put off wrath, put off malice. Anger is that smoldering anger that you harbor in your heart and feed it and nourish it, and it just keeps on going. Wrath is that anger that flares up and then quickly dies, but it motivates you to say and do and act in a way that's contrary to the Word of God. We're to put off this anger and put off this wrath and put off this malice, which is viciousness of mind, an attitude of ill will towards someone else. Now, I want you to understand this. When God saves us and God sanctifies us, He does not destroy our personality. We are still human. We'll be human as long as we live. And anger is a part of humanity. It's the first emotion a person you ever see in your baby. When they don't get their way, they are angry. And it is an emotion that we never completely get rid of. But when he says that we're to put off anger and wrath, he's talking about putting off that sinful anger and that sinful wrath. Because he tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. So when a person, their anger and their wrath is uncontrolled, when it is not subject to the law of God. And you understand this. When you feel anger rising in your heart, you are not far from sin. Sin is crouching at the door, waiting to devour you, just like God said to Cain, when you feel anger rising in your heart. You know that sin lieth at the door. So what God does for us, when we put off that old man obeys anger. That old man pushes beyond the boundaries, oversteps the boundaries. That old man says things and does things that are contrary to the law of God under the inspiration of anger and wrath. But what God does for us is He puts a lid on that and redirects that, so that we can be angry, angry at sin, angry at the devil, angry at the right things. But brother, the old man whose anger and wrath provokes us to break the law of God, that anger has to go. So we are not too soon angry. We are long-suffering. We don't get too angry. That is, angry enough to break the law of God. And we do not stay too long angry, because we are not to let the sun go down upon our wrath, and we're not to give place to the devil. And when anger is harbored in your heart, you are giving place to the devil. And understand this, and Brother Danny taught on this morning, but if you allow that anger to remain in your heart, it will develop into hatred. And the Bible says if we hate our brother, then we are a murderer and we do not have eternal life. So this is what that old man does to us. We have to put off that old man with these wrong feelings and with this wrong communication. Blasphemy, which is slanderous talk. Filter communication out of your mouth, which is obscenity and foul talk. And brother, it is not appropriate for you as a Christian to use gutter language. It is not appropriate for you as a Christian to use words that should be used in a holy way, reverential way, and you use it in a